I want to ask you this morning, with what attitude have you come today? Well, you say remembrance, of course. But lurking in the background, could there be other emotions? Maybe hate, self-pity, fear of the future, pride, arrogance, love, forgiveness? Well, I have to say I'm proud of both my maternal and paternal grandfathers who served in the First World War. One served under His Majesty, the other served under His Kaiser. What happened in the past, we cannot undo. It's unchangeable. But our attitude now is what is important. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Do we? In Matthew chapter 6, when we have the Lord's Prayer, Jesus continued in verse 14 and 15, it says that if we don't forgive others, neither will God forgive us. But how is this made possible? One word, sacrifice. God sent Jesus so that we could be forgiven. Have you accepted His forgiveness? This morning I want to look at three aspects of sacrifice. But first, a definition. Sacrifice. Surrender made in order to gain something. Surrender made in order to gain something. If there's no gain made, then the sacrifice was for nothing. It was in vain. But also, sacrifice always costs something. When King David in the Bible sinned and the destroying angel was about to destroy part of Jerusalem, the prophet told David to go and make an altar and sacrifice at the threshing floor of Araruna. And he went there, and when Araruna saw him coming, he said, "I'll give you the threshing floor, I'll give you the threshing sledges and the oxen." But David said, "No, I will not offer burnt offerings which cost me nothing." So look at the first aspect of sacrifice. The sacrifice of men, i.e. something physical. Our thoughts this morning are particularly about the sacrifice for freedom. And has occurred worldwide since time immemorial. Men and women gave their lives for causes that they in some way would better their fellow men. In my home church, I had a very humble gentleman, which took me many years to realise, he was awarded the George Cross. I knew he had only one eye, but I didn't know why. It turned out that he was a commando during the Second World War and also a medic. And when one of his fellow comrades was injured outside the zone they were in, he went out to rescue him, and a shell blew up in front of him, but he continued to rescue his comrade despite being injured himself. And hence he was awarded the George Cross. And today we mark such many similar occasions. But in hindsight, we ask, was it worth it? What was gained? And each situation must be looked at individually, but we thank our forefathers and our mothers for the freedom that we enjoy today. We're not under the oppression of extreme left or right, of Rome, Berlin, Brussels, Moscow, or any other past empire. And our royal family and electoral system are the envy of the world. At this stage, I would also like to mention our spiritual forefathers. Now, I am no history buff. When I was studying at school, I couldn't give up history fast enough, because of the way it was taught me, unfortunately. And only more recently, I learned what the English Civil War was really all about. It wasn't just a battle between crown versus state. Behind it was the freedom of worship for those of all faiths and none, to quote. Many of our evangelical dissenter forefathers were deprived of their liberty, of their goods and chattels, their homes, and sometimes even their lives, just to give us the freedom of worship and speech that we enjoy today. Sadly, in our increasingly anti-Christian society, that freedom is being abused to bring action against the descendants of those martyrs who gave us that freedom. Secondly, I want to look at the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we talk especially of Christ's sacrifice at every communion service. That's the whole reason of having our communion. We remember his death, and we celebrate it. Why? What was to be gained? Well, such sacrifice should not have been necessary if God's original plan had been followed. Let's start at the beginning. Adam and Eve were given free will to love God. Yes, God had all the angels there to worship him, but they did what they were designed and created to do. God wanted someone to love him out of free will. And did they? No. They chose to disobey him. They chose to sin. In 1 John 5 verse 17 we read that all wrongdoing is sin. Of course, they immediately found out the consequences, because God had already told them, the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you will die. And that's exactly what it's summed up in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Death. Spiritual separation from God. Because Adam and Eve never saw God again after that moment that they sinned. They hid themselves. God didn't hide, they hid. And of course, physically, they began to deteriorate, and they eventually died. Of course, immediately after that, God had to make the first animal sacrifice in order to get skins to clothe them. Subsequently, we read that Noah sacrificed animals after he came out of the ark, and Abraham made several sacrifices, and in chapter 22 of Genesis, we read that lovely picture of when God told him to sacrifice his only son, the picture that would later be fulfilled in Jesus himself. And of course, until these rituals were organized in the law, we read in Leviticus, the blood of these animals only covered the sins, as we've already sung about and read in Hebrews. They could never take away or redeem, in other words, buy back the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. The blood of the Passover lamb sacrifice just covered the children of Israel from the destruction of the destroying angel. But they had to keep on performing it until Jesus came. As you read in verse 11 and 12, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Christ was perfect. Even though those lambs were supposed to be the lamb without blemish, they were still imperfect. Christ was the reason why his blood could take away sin. But thinking back to the definition, what was to be gained? Well, it's listed there in verses 13 to 18. In verse 13, victory over his enemies. Verse 14, perfection for all those who are made holy or sanctified, to use an old word. Verse 16, his laws were on their hearts. Verse 17, their sins forgiven. And verse 18, cessation of sacrifices. In other words, put it all together, you had the restoration of that lost relationship. Thirdly, I'd like to look at the sacrifice of ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we read, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Well, it must be spiritual, mustn't it? Because the animal sacrifices to which Paul was also alluding here would have been dead. Their throats were cut, the blood was spilled out, and then was put on the altar and burnt. If the sacrifice was still alive, it would have crawled off the altar, wouldn't it? So how do we do it? Well, Paul actually lists it out there in verses 2 to 21. We could have a sermon on this alone. But what does he say? In verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Transform your mind. In verses 3 to 8, saying, use your gifts. And then further down, from verses 9 onwards, it says, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Live peaceably with all. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So remembering our original definition, what is gained? Well, that restored relationship with God and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit and all that that brings. Spiritual gifts and, more importantly, the fruit of his Spirit. But where is the love involved? In 1 John 4 and verse 10, we read, we love God because he first loved us. What does it cost? Time, money, talents, whatever we have. Maybe even our physical lives ultimately. As we come to an end of these thoughts, maybe an encouragement and a challenge for you. The verses we didn't read in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That last verse there, the last line, as you see the day drawing near. What do you understand by the day? What is this day? Well, this day is the day when the Lord Jesus will return and take away from this earth those who love him, those who have committed their lives to him. Known in some circles as the rapture. Fellow brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus, are you ready? Are you looking forward to that day? I always remember when I was working at a factory in Devizes for a short while, and I was cycling to work one lunchtime, and there was one cloud in the sky. And I had to sort of keep looking back down at the road as I was cycling along, otherwise I'd wobble off my bike. I was thinking, Lord, is it today? Are you coming today? There's just one cloud. And during the afternoon, I was poking my head out the window looking to see if that cloud was still there. Are we looking for his return? Our Prime Minister Boris at the COP26 summit last week said, the doomsday clock is at 1 minute to midnight. Well, I believe God's clock for Jesus' return is at a similar time. Yes, while care for our natural world is vital for its satisfactory continuance, it will come to an end one day. Because of Adam's sin, the whole of creation has been tainted. It's degrading. It's going to finish. But what is far more important is the destiny of our eternal souls. And for those who are listening who do not name the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord of their lives, are you going to ignore the offer of salvation won by Christ's ultimate sacrifice on the cross? Because we read in Romans 3 verse 23, since all have sinned, that's pretty inclusive, all have sinned and continue to fall short of God's glory. That excludes no one. And sin leads to eternal separation from God, as we've already discussed. But the great thing is, Romans 6 and verse 23 continues, the free gift of God is eternal life in, with, by, through, same word, Jesus Christ our Lord. And you say, well, how is that possible? Well, it's very easy. It's as easy as ABC. Maybe, you know, you've been coming to church all your life and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your life. Well, as I say, it's so easy. A, admit to God that you are a sinner, that you have done wrong, and say sorry and ask for forgiveness. B, believe. The famous verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, that word believe is not just a head knowledge. It means to trust in, to cling to rely on. That way, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then finally, see, confess. In other words, tell other people. When you ask the Lord Jesus and you want to make a stand for him, tell other people. That will strengthen you. But as I said, time is running out. That clock is at 1 minute to midnight. And after the rapture of Christ's church, it will be too late. The opportunity will be gone. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says that, behold. Now that word behold means stop, look, consider. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We are not given tomorrow. Think about these things. We need to make a decision for Christ.